Thank you for joining me in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I'm excited to share the message of God's unconditional love with you. In this program, The Love Way, the vision is to share the message of grace with people all over the world so they can have peace and know that God is not upset with them, that there's nothing separating them from God except unbelief, not knowing the good news of Jesus Christ, and that God has pardoned the sins of the whole world. He's forgiven people. And that everybody that believes that can enter into righteousness and enter into holiness. We want to preach the message of grace for this purpose, that people can experience the very character of God in their lives. So many times people are afraid to hear the message of grace because through years and people have been thinking that the message of grace is a license to sin. It's been called the greasy grace message. It's been called the sloppy agape message and I don't know what. And that is just because people don't understand and read the scripture in full and see the impact that the good news can have in a person's life and what God gave grace for. We must realize that grace is the influence that Jesus has upon a human life and that the law mentality, the mentality that says, by what I do, I will become, is the influence that the devil had through what Adam has done upon man. The snake came to separate man from glory, and the glory that Adam had in the beginning was given for free by God. And that is God's plan, and God never changes. He wants you to walk by His glory and in His glory for free. Man, isn't that wonderful? So many times we think that the message of grace will promote sin, but I want to read a scripture to explain to you why Jesus fulfilled the law and brought grace. Because, and let me just say this before I read this, the message of grace promotes the life of God and manifests the life of God. And when I read this scripture, I want you to have peace in your heart and in your mind because this is just going to bless you. It's in Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Now, it says here that sin will not have any dominion over you because we are not under the law but under grace. So, Jesus wanted to fulfill the law and there had to be a man that had to come and fulfill the law for one reason. And that reason was that we would not be under the law but under grace so that sin could not have dominion over us. Now, this is what grace does. It takes the dominion of sin over you, away from you. It delivers you from condemnation, and it brings the life of God into you, and it manifests holiness and righteousness. So, if we can know that we are forgiven, we will live a holy life. That's what that scripture says. Let me read it again. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. That means that if we are under the law, if we seek guidance, if we seek righteousness, if we seek peace, if we seek prosperity, if we seek joy, whatever you seek, if it's by the law, it means that you are under sin and that sin has got dominion or rulership over your life. Have you ever tried to stop to sin in a certain area of your life and you seem never to get it right? Maybe you lose that temper of yours. Maybe you cannot get rid of gambling or smoking or drinking or whatever sin you are in, you just cannot get rid of it. And the harder you try, the more sin you've got in your life. The harder you try, the more frustrated you get. Sometimes you try and you can only stop for a week or two, and then it is just worse than ever. Do you know why it is like that? It's because sin has got dominion over you. It's because the law is still active in your life. And that is what Jesus Christ came to do. He came so that we could be like God, not God, but like God because God indwells us. And that's what it says. It says, sin will not have dominion over you for you are not under the law, but under grace. So to break the power of sin, to break the dominion of sin over your life, you need to get out of the law and into grace. And I know I've said this so many times, but You know, every now and then I get a call, people tell me, Bert, it's the first time we see you on the Spirit Word channel. So for those who have been listening to these broadcasts, just bear with me. The definition of the law is this. The law is the mentality that says, by what I do, I'll become. And then you can put in any commandment you want. You can put in the Ten Commandments that God gave. You can put in any other commandment. And that is the law and commandments. So we should not have the mentality that says, by what I do, I'll become. Grace says, by what He has done, I became. The law demands righteousness. And it sounds so good. It sounds so right. It stands for, I demand that you should live holy and you should live right. But Jesus Christ and grace gives righteousness. There's a difference between demanding righteousness and giving righteousness. If I go to the beggar in the street and I demand R1 million from him, you know what? I'm just wasting my time because he doesn't have the money. That's it. But if I want to, Jesus would come and grace would come and he would give R1 million unto the poor man and enrich him. That's the difference. I want to tell you that Jesus and grace gives righteousness. It doesn't demand righteousness. It gives righteousness. So Jesus came to fulfill the law so the power and the dominion of sin can be broken and that you can be free. Verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Now that is a very powerful scripture, and I'm so blessed by that. You know, the Holy Spirit is so clever to write these things in the way He does. He says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. So many times we've used the scripture in a wrong way and a wrong understanding, and we thought that what it means is that if we are under grace, we should still watch out not to sin. But that's not what it says. It speaks of something completely different. It speaks of an indwelling force, an indwelling power. He says here that if you, verse 14, if you are under grace, you are set free from the dominion of sin. Then he says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law? Many people think if we take the law away, people will start to sin. It's not like that. Because under the law, there was a force that was working in our lives. It was a force that brought forth our sinful nature and it worked sin in us. The law is holy, but when we apply the law to human flesh, or if we say we apply human ability to the law, it brings forth your inability. Okay, so sin is manifested by trying to obey rules and regulations. And then he says, now remember that sin came forth because of a force that was working in you through the law. Now he says, shall we sin if we are not under the law? Because so many times people think if we take the law away, we will just go haywire and just do whatever we want. But what does it say? It says, no, God forbid. That word forbid in the Greek is the word ginomai, which means to become. In other words, to come into existence, to begin to be, or to receive being. Now what it says here, it says if we are under grace, God will stop and God will see that sin will not come into being in your life. Man, isn't that powerful? When you are under the law, you are using your own power not to sin. But when you are under grace, God forbids. Or God, he stops sin to become or to come into existence or begin to be or to receive its being in your life. Now that's the difference. If we can see the benefits of being under grace, we will be completely set free. It's not rules and regulations. It's the receiving of the Spirit. Now, I want us to go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And we're going to talk just a little bit about the Spirit and the flesh. Because so many times we think that being in the Spirit is doing everything right. And being in the flesh is if I've broken the law, if I haven't done what somebody expects from me. Like I said one time, I came late for Bible school. And I had a good reason why I came late for Bible school. I was somebody that really had such an active mind, I couldn't sleep at night. And I would go nights on end without really getting proper sleep, maybe 1 or 2 hours every night. And then I had a doctor friend, and I said to him, could you just give me some sleeping tablets? And he gave me a sleeping tablet. And I've never taken any sleeping tablets before. So that was the first time I ever took something like that, and it knocked me out. I came late for Bible school. I think the Bible school started at 8, and I arrived at between 9 and 10. And the dean of the Bible school said to me, why are you late? And then I said to him, you know, I couldn't sleep, and I took a sleeping tablet, and this and that and whatever. And then he said to me, yes, but still, you're not allowed to be late. And why do you take these tablets? It's a sin. It's not right. And you're going to be addicted to it and whatever. And then I said to him, there's no condemnation for me because I'm in Christ Jesus. Then he said to me, no, that's typical the way you think because you only read half the scripture. And then he quoted Romans 8 verses 1. I want to read it to you now. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So he said to me, you were in the flesh, therefore there is condemnation for you. If you've been in time for Bible school, there wouldn't have been condemnation, but now you're not in time because you were in the flesh lying in bed, resting, instead of waking up, coming to Bible school. Now, I use this example because it is relevant in so many lives that's listening to this broadcast right now. If we read the scripture like that, we've got a complete wrong interpretation, and you can just take the New Testament and burn it. You can forget about it because that's a wrong interpretation. It will not produce life. Being in the flesh is seeking to be justified by what you do, and being in the Spirit is living the life of God because the Spirit of God dwells in you. And we're going to look at that quickly. What does it mean to be in the Spirit? To be in the Spirit, we can quickly look at it in John 20, verses 20. Jesus comes and he appears to his disciples in the place where they were hiding for fear of the Jews. And he shows his hands. He says, peace unto you, peace unto you. And then the Bible says, let me read from verse 21. Then Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so have I sent you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted, and whosoever them they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, what did Jesus do? He came after he was resurrected. He has already been to the Father. He came down, spoke to his disciples, breathed upon them, and then said, receive the Holy Spirit. So the moment that happened was because they believed on Jesus, the Spirit came, indwelled them. So they had the very Spirit of God. And I want to explain it like this, and I also said this in the previous broadcast, and I believe this is a good example. If somebody is for nature conservation, if he's a fanatic, he's really into Greenpeace and all of that, you don't have to give him 5 rules in how to behave in the forest, not to litter and not to make a forest fire and all those type of things. He'll believe in organic, you know, you must only eat organic food, you should not, all this toxic waste, he will be against all those things. You will not have to give him any rule or law in how to behave, because the Spirit of nature conservation indwells him. It's in that person. They are willing to die for it. I've seen on television some people, they climb into the trees when they don't want the trees to be cut down, willing to give their lives because of something that's inside them that drives them. Nobody has to tell them what to do. It comes out of their nature. And this is what happened. Jesus came, he blew upon the disciples and said, receive the Spirit. As I have been sent, so sent I you. Now, isn't that powerful? You can fulfill the walk of Jesus by receiving the Spirit. Now, what we want to do sometimes, we want to receive the law. And by the law is the knowledge of sin. And by that law, we want to fulfill the work of God. What a frustrating thing. It's like killing a fire with petrol. You're wasting your time. You're just going to be frustrated and burn yourself. You will never get it right. Now, let's quickly go back to Romans chapter 8. And let's read it again in that context, understanding what it is to be in the Spirit. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, which walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the flesh? The word flesh in the Greek means the following. It says, flesh as stripped from the skin. Now, if you slaughter an animal, well, one day we went hunting, and after you hunt, some guys say a good hunter will slaughter the buck he shot himself, but I wasn't that good one. I gave it to somebody, and he did it. And he stripped the skin off that animal, and what was left was the muscle, just the muscle, the meat. So if we are in the flesh, we are in our own muscle, in our own power, in our own ability. Those who seek righteousness by the flesh, by their own power to obey rules and regulations, they are carnally minded, and they've got death within them. Let's read it again. It says in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, or does not seek justification by what we do, but after the Spirit, saying that we have been made righteous by Jesus giving us the Spirit of God. Like I've explained, the Spirit of nature conservation. We receive the Spirit of God, the very nature of God. Therefore, we are holy, and out of that Spirit we live. If you receive the Spirit, and you are born of God in your spirit, and you think that you must still obey rules and regulations to be pleasing unto God, your spirit will be alive, but sin will manifest in your body. As easy as that. And we can see that quickly in Romans chapter 7. I want to read Romans chapter 7 there from verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who raised you from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when you were in the flesh, that under the law, by your power, trying to be like God, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in your members to bring forth fruit unto death. So, if we want to bring forth fruit unto God, it's very easy. We must not be in the flesh seeking to be justified by what we do. The most frustrating people that I've seen are people who are really trying to be holy, because they know what standard of holiness there is in the Bible. Then they try to do it, and they think that if they don't live 100% holy, they're going to go to hell. So what's happening now is they start to live in self-justification. It's all about, I'm not wrong, I'm actually right. You know, this is the reason that you just want to justify yourself all the time. And what happens is people don't get free from sin. They just become experts in hiding their sins. And you might say, but I am sinless in what I do. And you lie. As easy as that. Go and read Luke chapter 6, Matthew from verse chapter 5 from verse 18 onwards, and see if you can do what Jesus laid down there. There's no man that can do that by his willpower. Only God will be able to get you to do that. You'll have to come to a place where you're so much under grace, where you say, I'm completely immersed in grace, where God forbids sin in my life, where God makes sin to cease to exist in my life, where God comes, like the definition, ginomai here is, He stops sin to come into existence, to begin to be or to receive being in my life. And He stops death to receive its being in my life. He stops sickness to have its being in my life, because I am under grace and not under do's and don'ts. Man, isn't that powerful? That is so powerful. It is actually so life-giving. Let's read verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. What it actually says, and it's so beautiful in the Message translation, says they that are under the law only mind one thing, and that is to measure their muscle power, their own ability to do things, But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In other words, they that are after the message of grace, what Jesus has given for free, their mind is full of God's nature and what God does. Hallelujah. Now, don't hear this the other way around. I don't say, put your mind full of the things of God, and that means now you are under grace. I say, get under grace. That's your part. Believe the good news. Labor to enter into the rest. Make a study of the good news. Believe what God has done in Jesus, and then you will find your mind in that which is good. Hallelujah. Verse 6. For to be carnally or law-minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Man, isn't that powerful? If you are in the flesh, you cannot please God. In the flesh, you're seeking to be justified by what you do. So many times we become so tired of trying to be holy by what we do. And we declare ourselves holy. We want to declare ourselves holy by what we do. And that is the temptation of the devil. If you look at Matthew chapter 4, you look at the life of Jesus. Jesus was baptized. After he was baptized, he came up out of the water. A voice came from heaven, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was by the Spirit led into the desert, where he was tempted of the devil. How did the devil tempt him? The devil first waited until there was no manifestation of sonship. In other words, he waited until there wasn't manifestation of kingdom. There wasn't manifestation of provision, hunger, thirst, dehydration, struggling, you know, where you can start to doubt because of situation, because of your situation. He waited until then. Then he came to Jesus and he tempted him with the law. He didn't tempt him with anything else. He tempted him with the law. He said unto him, "If you are the Son of God, take these stones, make it bread." So what he said to Jesus actually was, don't base your sonship on what God says, but base your sonship on what you do. And if Jesus would have done that, the law would have been sealed forever unto mankind, and all of us would have been hell-deserving people never being with God. That was the greatest temptation. And the devil has not changed. He's the same. He comes to you with that same stupid thing, telling you, well, if you are now the righteousness of God, do these things, let me see. You know what you tell him? You tell him, I am not righteous because of what I do. I'm righteous because of what Jesus has done and because he has commanded and his blessing over me, and he says, I am righteous. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? Let's quickly go to Galatians. And we read the scripture in Galatians. It is a powerful scripture and it can really bring so much peace to our lives if we can understand this. The works of the flesh and the works of the law. Let's read verse 18. Galatians 5:18. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now imagine that. That is the fruit of being in the flesh. That's the works of the flesh. That's what will happen in your life if you are under the law. That's it. Now imagine somebody who's born again, who seeks justification by what he does and blessing by what he does, having all those things in his life. He's saved, but he struggles with envying. He struggles with outbursts of wrath. He struggles with all those things. It is a very frustrated person, and there's no peace in his life. Man, it says here in verse 16, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't that powerful? So the message of grace, and this is the whole thing that I want to say in this broadcast. The message of grace is the only thing that will bring righteousness to your life. If you are preaching the law, you are preaching the pathway to sin. If you are preaching the law, you're preaching the pathway to a consciousness of unrighteousness. You are preaching a pathway to separation from God. God wants you to walk in absolute peace. He wants you to know that He approves of you. He loves you. When Jesus obeyed, He obeyed on your behalf. Just as much as when Adam disobeyed, and he disobeyed on behalf of all of man. Let's read verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that will be in your life when you live by what God has given you by the message of grace, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now, isn't that powerful? I want you to know, if these things aren't in your life, don't try to do it. If you don't have meekness, don't try to be meek. Get into grace. The more you try to be meek, the less you'll be meek, and the more you'll be delivered from meekness. The more you try to be holy, the less holy you will be, and the more you will be delivered from holiness. That's what the Word of God teaches. Well, we've come to the end of this broadcast, and I just believe that God is a God that loves you and wants to bless you. Let's just pray together. Father, I speak Your blessing over every person that hears my voice. And I say over them, you've got an enlightened mind. You can hear the love of God. You can be set free. You can be the man of God you always wanted to be because of Jesus. It's a free gift. God bless you. Amen.